shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Responsible families don't do their budgets the way the federal government does.
Says, I can only hope that the numbers quickly get too big to be whitewashed and ignored, that the American zombies
wake... What do you think? I mean, the only argument I have in defense of this is that if cats could, they would eat us.
Okay, so who's fighting there?
My mom.
All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. On this program, truth is our bitch. And we give you a kind of Alice in Wonderland through the looking glass view of not just news, not just issues, not just the media, but you, baby. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay. One of the things that's happening today, of course, is there are, for some reason, conservatives are falling all over themselves, distancing themselves from Joe Stuck, or whatever the hell this guy's name is.
The other guy called him Stacked.
Yeah, no, Larry Grover was on here calling him Stacked. It's not anything to laugh about. There is someone that is dead, and I'm not, you know, I will apologize. You know, I apologize to the extent that we should if we've been making a couple of jokes about this. But I will tell you, there's nothing that we've been saying on this show that even compares to jackasses like Larry Grover or some of this other ridiculous conversation we've been hearing today from people about. Well, you know, what he did was bad, but you know, he says a lot of sensible things. I'm going to tell you something. I don't think I have ever in my life encountered a collection of people so incapable of understanding contemporary events as the current active. I'm not saying every. I'm saying the current active generation of Americans. What do I mean by active? What do I mean? All right, I'll tell you. Remember when we were kids and we would drive around with our parents and we saw that one car that had all the bumper stickers on it? Remember when we were kids or when we got older? We heard these crazy old ladies calling the talk shows, I don't mean all talk show callers either, but there's a certain segment of the populace that is so active, they're shrill. They're on the blogs. And I have to tell you this. You need to know this because this is something we've known in media, and I want you to hear this. This is extremely important. This is a fact of life. This is not my opinion. I'm giving you the gospel. So listen. Listen. And we've known this in the radio and television business for years and years and years and years. The people on the blogs, the people in the chat rooms, the people on the message boards, the people on Facebook, the people on MySpace, these people represent less than 5% of the human race. Their opinions, not necessarily their presence, their opinions. The really active people, the ones that say, there's going to be a revolution. They don't represent anything. But they're loud and they're noisy and they're so boring. And yet they're being taken seriously that you have to deal with them. You know what I mean? So we have to deal with them. And we have to deal with these people who are saying that Joe Stack is somehow representative of something going on in this country. Well, no, he isn't. Are people pissed off about taxes? I got a big news flash for you. When have they not been? Yeah, but it's never been this bad, Phil. Oh, really? It's never been this bad, Phil, huh? There was a time in this country we were near broke. We didn't have any money. There was a time in this country where we didn't know how we were going to pay the bill to service an armed forces. We don't know whether we could afford a navy. We've had it a lot tougher than this. This is a generation that is distinguishing itself not so much by how tough it is, but by what a pack of whiny children it's comprised of, starting with Joe Stack. I mean, this bitch, excuse my language, ladies, I don't mean you. I'm referring to him, and among men, that's an insult. This bitch flies his plane into a building, kills another human being, injures people. God knows how much he injured them. You know, this was a terrible fire, and injury and from fire is devastating. And if you read his manifesto and you got out of the third grade, what you're looking at is a mishmash of bitching and moaning about the fact that the government spends too much, that he personally got screwed in some tax investigation of some kind into him, that they didn't want to bail him out during the dot-com, but they went ahead and they bailed out the airline industry, and that they wasted money on GM, but they didn't spend it on a health care plan. Now, can you, for the life of you, figure out what this guy's politics are? Of course you can't. The very people that are raising this man on high today and saying, I don't agree with people that are being killed. I don't agree with that, Phil, but you have to, this man is speaking for the American people. Is he? Well, that must mean the American people want a health care plan. Now, that goes against what the Tea Party people and the conservatives and most of the idiots that think that Joe Smokestack, has been saying, which, you know, you don't have to read very far. But then he's got something in there for everybody. And unless you are a discriminating reader, unless you're somebody, in other words, like I said, got out of the third grade, you think he's just all that and a freaking bag of pork rinds on top of it. This cat's talking about how no taxation without representation. Now, as soon as I saw that, I knew I was in for a real long, very tiring read. As soon as I saw this lunatic say, taxation without representation, I knew I was dealing with another. Talk about zombie. This guy accuses the American people of being zombies. I've never seen a man more addicted to cliches, more addicted to dull, discredited thinking than Joe Stack just before he went to his death. Just before that brain of his was liquefied in the ensuing flame and explosion, there wasn't much in that brain to begin with. Taxation without representation. Yeah, you're right. And I guess we're quartering troops in our houses, too. Is that what we're doing?
Well, he don't mean about that.
Well, he better get his... Well, he can't get his act together now.
Yeah, he's dead, man. But what about that? We're not going to have to do that, are we?
No, we're not going to have to quarter troops in our houses. But if you listen to half of these Tea Party jackballs... And that's my main problem with Tea Party people. I got no problem with controlling spending. If and where we can do it. I got no problem with that. I got no problem with, no problem at all with being more prudent. What I have a problem with, and I will always have a problem with, is with ignorant people sitting there and telling me what Thomas Paine believed, and what Thomas Jefferson believed, and what George Washington believed. These silly bastards, you know, and because they're saying all the sexy stuff that someone who would much rather not have to think for a living, you know, is going to believe, they're going to, you know, it's a beautiful thing, man. So in other words, Thomas Jefferson... I think we said in our uncensored podcast before the show, Thomas Jefferson believed in an agrarian America. He wanted the country to be nothing but farmers. Thomas Jefferson hated the idea of European industry. He hated everything having to do with Europe. He hated industry. And if it was a good idea and it came from Europe, he hated that. He hated the British ambassador. He hated them all, man. He hated them so much. He wanted us to tie our national prospects to a war against Great Britain, teaming up with the French. You know, which we eventually did, and we got our capital burned to the ground. But by the same token, we were able to pick up Thomas Jefferson that did that? Oh, so there wasn't the War of 1812. He did that before. Thomas Jefferson, Mr. Agrarian President, this is a guy that wielded the federal authority of the presidency like nobody before him, man. And all these people who wouldn't know Thomas Jefferson if he sat and, you know, if he was sitting next to him in bed and kissing the nape of their necks. This guy was a states' rights agrarian kind of a guy. When they talked about industry, forget it. Thomas Jefferson. He was a fine man, blah, 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 blah. He wrote the Declaration of Independence, blah, 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 blah. And you got all these other guys. You Tea Party people, do yourselves a favor, all right? Because you're never going to go anywhere as long as you sound as stupid as you do talking about the founders. Just talk about the money. Talk about where the money could go, where the money will go. And as I said on our podcast, I'm going to repeat, not our podcast, but our pre-show. I'm going to repeat what I said. And I'm going to go slow so that people don't mistake what it is I'm going to say here. You can't have it both ways, you see. And when we talk about the Great Depression, and when we hear people decrying Keynesian economics and saying, no amount of spending got us out of the Great Depression. I can assure you of that. Really, what did? World War II. Well, now that's an interesting thing that you just said there, World War II, because guess what happened during World War II? What? Well, an unbelievable and unprecedented amount of federal money was put into troops, was put into the defense industry. We put people to work in all kinds of areas of industry, all kinds of armament, soldiers. I mean, it was the federal government was the number one employer during World War II. And guess what happened after that war ended? Well, my God, we had a period of prosperity like none ever before in the history of the country. And what do you think we had just been doing for 4 years, 3 years prior to that? Government spending like you wouldn't believe. Putting people to work on the government payroll like you wouldn't believe. Now, you'll hear people who think they're real clever, they'll say this. Yes, but it was a war. We had to. What isn't a war? I listen to these Tea Party jackasses. We're at war right now. So I tell you what we ought to do. If we're at war right now, let's do what we've done. Let's go ahead and start spending money, man. That's what we did in World War II, World War I, Civil War. Let's spend some money. You know, I hate to get all wound up here, you know.
Yeah, man. Here, take some of this.
Well, thank you. I'm simply saying here, and...
here, man, let me... Don't
give me a shoulder rub. I don't want that. What I'm saying here is simply this. Would you take your hands off my shoulder?
I just think you ought to... Just a little bit of a rub down.
I don't want a rub down right now, Robert. Thank you. All I'm saying... Look, I'm sorry I got it. I'm just saying... if you think about it, if you just allow yourself to think about it for 5 seconds, the answer is right in front of your nose. I suspect, and I know I'm right, that those people who have been completely invested in things like the Tea Party, or even progressives who are invested in their little religion, Joe Stack, all these people are really invested in their religion, you know, their political religion. They don't want to know any of the things that I'm just saying to you because that's just it goes against their preconceived view of the world. So I'm just telling all of you guys out there who really want to know how things work, I'm telling you how it works. And government spending, yes, in the past has. It has coalesced the forces of the American people. It has provided a little bit of inspiration. It has provided jobs. It has provided a boost to industry. It's been a great partner to business. When things are critically really bad, yeah, the government has stepped in and done wondrous things. And at the end of that process, as I said to you, at the end of the process of war, World War II, where were we? Embarking on one of the most prosperous periods in American history. What was World War II but a massive government spending package? And if you say to me, well, we were at war, we had to do that, I say to you, isn't that what these Tea Party clowns are talking about right now? Aren't they saying we're at war? Aren't they saying that we've got to do this and do that and do something else to get ourselves out of there? They wouldn't know what real war and what real hardship and what real, you know, powerlessness and poverty is if you gave them 100, 200 years to figure it out. And then we have this guy flying into a building. So I'm just telling you, you know, you're going to hear a lot of stupid stuff over the next several weeks about this jackass. Just remember what old Phil told you, okay?
Yeah, you sure you want a rub down?
I don't want a rub down, thank you. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Olympian Johnny Weir says he loves wearing dead animals and he's sick of getting complaints from anti-fur activists. We'll hear what his problem is, or maybe their problem is here. Coming up, 877-876-PHIL. Marilyn Donnelly next hour, an educator who believes American Idol should be taken off the air. And coming up next week, our special guest, Bubba the Love Sponge. The next week, we'll have Andy Levy from Red Eye, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Here, here's some back, here's some oil.
Get away with that oil.
Phil Hendry.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. And if we could, we'd fly to CPAC and start selling them Joe Stack T-shirts.
I got a guy on the phone about a T-shirt. Make him up.
I'm kidding around. I can't do that, man. We'd be in even more trouble than we're in already. All right. Johnny Weir loves dead animals. He calls animal rights activists crazy fur people, but let's find out what this is about, Johnny. After bowing to pressure from animal rights groups to replace the fox fur in his costume with faux fur, men's figure skater Johnny Weir has changed tack and issued a pro-fur rant saying he loves wearing dead animals. The outspoken star, who took to the ice at the Vancouver Olympics last night in a less divisive but hardly demure pink and black Hot Topic-worthy ensemble with sheer panel details, whatever. He said, and I'll quote, "There have been threats against me." Of course there are, Johnny. This is America, you know. There, and it probably isn't PETA that's threatening you, Johnny. It's just somebody that doesn't like you. Someone that doesn't like the fact that a cat like you gets all the girls, even though...
He's gay.
Don't say that. I don't know for sure. He said, "I don't want any outside influences to hurt my chances here, even though I'm not always comfortable rooming with somebody or being in a communal village sort of situation. It's what I've got to deal with. But if that sounds like he's taking the high road, think again." Weir went on to say, quote, "There was a lot of attention put on a tiny piece of fur. While I do understand anti-fur activists' views about fur and the fur industry, they aren't part of my life. One thing that's horrible is when somebody pushes a belief on you like a religion. I was definitely threatened and felt very threatened. People are nuts." Well, you're right about that, Johnny. One of the things about the environmental movement, about the animal rights movement, about, anti-war, the anti-war mentality, and, you know, in the case of Joe Stack, the anti-government mentality, it is like a religion. And, you know, people are saying, is global warming a religion? Well, what isn't? What isn't? Oh, come on, Phil. People are sensible. No, they're not. Even the most sensible of sensible people, even just, I don't know who that might be. Maybe your mom, maybe your Aunt Mary, maybe the most sensible of sensible people, they call themselves, "I'm a conservative, I believe," and they never really think about it. That's just what they are, because it's their religion. Well, animal rights people are the same way, And the only problem I got is, like most of you, I believe in a separation of church and state. Now, I know in this case we're talking about political religion, but hey, if someone is holding to a belief system that is going to be their belief system for the rest of their life, no matter what anybody else tells them, then that's a religion. And then when they push that on you and tell you, you got to wear something else because fur, hey, don't that come from the little, you know, fuzzy animals? And my God, what a horrible thing. You know, I don't know. I'm just going to have to live with it. They're wrong. They're absolutely wrong. There's plenty of fur available, and there are plenty of animals, to be perfectly honest with you, that are not endangered and can provide that fur comfortably. But they don't want to know from that anymore. These cats don't even want you having dog shows. I mean, these cats don't want you having cat shows.
Yeah, the dogs don't want you having cat shows. The cats don't want to have whatever is a dog show.
Exactly.
What do you say, man? I don't understand that.
No, that was good. I like that, bud. So anyway, Johnny is going to go out and he's going to wear his fur. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people will miss your act, Johnny, not because they don't agree with you, but a figure skater wearing, quote, a tiny piece of fur, I got to just say, you know, I'm going to...
Yeah, I don't want to see that.
Yeah, I'm going to be out for the evening. I'm sorry.
Well, what do you think? He's going to just out in a jockstrap?
A jockstrap?
Well, what do you think you're going to do?
I just am not interested in figure skating if it involves a guy with a tiny piece of fur. I didn't say he's going to wear a jockstrap. I'm not saying that he's going to come out in a G-string. I just don't get it. That's all.
Well, it might be part of a costume. You know, he might be like an Indian fighter.
Yeah, what about that?
An Indian fighter? I don't care. Speaking of fashion, Coco Rocha, not in demand because of her weight. She's a size 4. Coco Rocha, or Rocha, the Canadian supermodel, claims she's no longer in demand because of her weight. Though Rocha's already walked the Diane von Furstenberg and Zach Posen runways this fashion week, the beauty had a long catwalk hiatus and suggests that her weight is to blame. She says she's not in demand for the shows. I've been told to lose weight when I was really skinny. She's a size 4, so that's pretty small.
Maybe your ass is too big.
That's got to be it. There's an anti-rear-end movement in just about every walk of life. There's an anti-female rear-end movement in every walk of life, I think, especially in modeling, to the point where women are embarrassed by an attribute that men find incredibly interesting and exciting.
Yeah, we talk about that, man. There's no way you're ever going to get a woman to believe that.
I know. Men like big rear ends. Oh, sure, they say they don't, but I got news for you. And if, ladies, I'm not talking to the men because they know they're lying if they say they don't. I'm talking to you ladies. Men love big rear ends. Don't even worry about it, okay? And that's why they're always feeding you pizza, see? So when you hear a guy say, hey, baby, you know, he's looking at some model, forget it. And look at this chick. She's getting fired because she's so skinny. I mean, nobody wants to see that. No one wants to look at someone who, they don't want to look at a chick that looks like a 12-year-old boy, I think is the whole thing. All right, coming up, a Pizza Hut receipt is racist, and a San Diego party is even more racist. But it is San Diego. I'm kidding. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
I know. 877-876-PHIL. Welcome back here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show on the line. Joining me here is Gerald Fisher, freelance writer, who's done some digging, and he has some information for us on this guy, Joe Stack. This is what I've been looking for here, Gerald. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing very good, Phil. I look at a lot of different websites. I also have a story here from Business Insider. I've been able to find this man's resume.
This guy, Joe Stack?
That's my understanding. Yeah, Joe Stack is a software engineer, Joseph Andrew Stack. He did contract work for several companies, including Hughes Aircraft, Equinox Industries, Warner Brothers Studio Stores, Sorrento Electronics, and this according to his business website. Now, let me click over to the business website. I don't know whether I can get the information. But here's the business website of this guy, Joe Stack.
All right. Now, it sounds to me, you said he's an independent contractor. I don't know whether you're going to be able to get this guy's website up, can you?
Probably not. But it did say that he had did some software work for people and other things. Now, you were talking about the fact he had some tax problems.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If he's an independent contractor, he obviously had a business, and his business obviously requires that he pay business taxes. Now, anybody that owns a business, and I do, I own two businesses, knows that you are required to pay taxes on your corporation. You can give yourself a salary if you want, but you cannot live off of this corporation without paying the corporation back. At the end of the year, otherwise you're paying even more in taxes, more in penalties.
What you're saying is a man probably lived beyond his means.
Obviously he lived beyond his means. So he's borrowing from his corporations, and he's not paying the taxes. I don't know whether he was paying himself a salary or just dipping into the corporate funds. You can't do that. He was denied licenses for a couple of businesses in the state of California. He had tax problems, it would appear, throughout his life. Now, again, I own businesses, and if you look at this, he had a lot of contacts, right?
Yeah, he had a contact. Like I said, he had a contact with Warner Brothers. He had another contact with a company called Embedded Art. Here's a description. Now, I got this from his homepage. He had a service company called Embedded Art.
This is his company.
That's right. And it says here, Embedded Art is a small independent software house specializing in process control and automation. In its current form, it represents the combination of 20 years of service in the software development consulting business, founded by Joe Stack in 1983 under the name of Prowess Engineering in Southern California. The company thrived for 15 years until shifting focus to the Sacramento area to take advantage of growth in the Silicon Valley. And now 5 years later, the expertise of Embedded Art has landed in the Austin area, expecting to lend a hand to the growing high technology. So,
all right, so that was his company, Embedded Art. And he said 5 years later, so that would make sense. That's around 2008, 2009, because he said 20 years, 2003, and now he's in Austin. And does it have the clients? What kind of business was he doing?
There's a list of clients from his website here. Silent Corporation, DNC Star Trek Network, Western Digital Corporation.
So these are all companies that he claims he was doing business with?
Well, yeah, but if he's having all this tax problem, I don't know how much business this man's doing.
Well, that's the point. So, in other words, this guy is lying through his teeth about his business, about its, what it's able to do. Now, we know that we have a very tough economy out there, but there are all kinds of businesses struggling. What's your take on this, Gerald?
Well, my take is, a man, he couldn't pay his like you said, he couldn't pay his income tax, couldn't pay his corporate tax. He probably was not staying within, if he was paying himself a salary, which, of course, you have to do if you have a corporation, he wasn't paying himself the right kind of salary. But I think that, I don't think you have to go any further than to say this man was a fat crap crazy. I think he's crazy in a crap house rat, you know.
And that's the bottom line. But again, when you talk about these companies, yeah, crazier than what you said, you know.
He's crazier than a crap house rat. That's my point.
Yeah. Well, no question. But beyond that, it's very obvious that he was the chief executive officer of these companies that he had created, that he didn't have enough business to pay the taxes, or at least to settle this question with the IRS.
No, I think Phil, and I've been a reporter a long time, I think you're trying to find a bigger answer. I think he's crazier than a crap house rat. I think this man was a mental case. I don't think you need to get any further than that. You know, I can go on a lot of other things that I've looked up on the guy.
Well, that's all I want to do. I mean, I want to find out a little bit about, more about this guy. I don't think it's fair to say he was crazier than a crap house rat, you know, before looking into what he was doing.
Well, I looked into everything he's doing, and he's just a guy. He had some expertise in software, expertise with computer. Seemed to know what he was doing, but he had a criminal mentality. And
what do you mean a criminal mentality?
From 1985 on, he was in trouble with the IRS. He was always constantly in trouble with the IRS, and that's because in my reading of this is he never paid the taxes, or he was paying the taxes short, or he was trying to find some way to get around, you know.
And so this guy is claiming that the government was pressing him, when in point of fact he just wasn't playing it up straight with the IRS.
I don't think he was. No, you know, I'll tell you, you told me a story once back in St. Paul, Minnesota. You hadn't paid your taxes in 5 years. And
I'd rather not talk about that.
You told me.
Now, thanks very much, man. I don't want to talk about that.
Well, he said that you didn't.
I paid my taxes. I mean, I had a hard time there for 3 years. This was a long time before I was starting businesses, though.
Yeah, well, you got to be honest about it and not be like Joe Stack.
Don't give me this Joe Stack stuff. I happen to have had a rough period there, and I'll tell you, the IRS came through town, actually, and they said, we're coming through town, and we're going to be coming into St. Paul, Minnesota on such and such. And I was up there, I was working in the Minneapolis market, and we're going to, if you've had unpaid income tax, if you've had unpaid taxes, if you haven't filed a return, then come and see us, because we're going to clear the slate, right? And I thought, that's my opportunity.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You're not like Joe Stack. You wouldn't do it.
Let me tell you something, bud. If I hadn't have done it, I still wouldn't have been like Joe Stack.
Why?
Because I ain't flying a plane into a building.
Man, are you stupid or something?
Yeah, but bull, up to that point, I was right.
Yeah, okay, up to that point, you're right. I'm just like Joe Stack. Anyway, the IRS came out of town and they said, they were going across the country, and anybody that has an outstanding deficiency of some kind, whether or not you filed an income tax return, do you owe money, we'll sit down with you, we'll work out something, right? And I thought, this is cool. So I literally did, on a Saturday, went over to the place that the IRS said that they would be, and there they were. And I said, well, here's the situation. Here are my income tax, you know, my W-2s and all that stuff. And they said, you owe $8 million.
You're kidding me.
No, they didn't. But, you know, I owed some money. I did a payment plan with these cats, and I paid it off. I paid it off within a year. And that was the end of that. And it didn't go on my credit. And I just took care of it, you know. So my experience with the, now, I can tell you this much. I have two businesses, and a lot of you guys listening to me right now, you know this is the case. You got to have an accountant. You have to have a guy who keeps the books, who is upstanding, who is legal, who has integrity. He's not some scumbag. He's not some oily, weaselly little bastard who is looking for ways to help you cut a few corners with the federals or with the state. No, 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 no. Uh-uh. No.
Yeah, but What about if you?
No. Not what about nothing. That's the first thing you need is a guy doing the money for your company who, first of all, understands how to do the books, and second of all, understands how to do them legal. And third of all, you should get a guy who's got, I don't know how, you know, some of these guys have their ways. He's got a real quick and dirty way of getting right through to the IRS. You don't need to sit on the 1-800 line on hold forever. You need a guy who has done it so often, has knows people, he can bang, man, make a phone call, boom, he's right there, okay? He's going to take care of any mistake he makes and like that. You got to have that. That's number one. Number two, don't even worry about it, man. If you got a quarterly tax to pay or however you pay off your corporate taxes, pay them. Just pay them. And if you think they're too much and you aren't able to live the lifestyle that you used to live and the recession's really kicking your ass and you had to sell one of the houses and you have to downsize from a Bentley to a Jaguar, you know, then I guess that's just what you're going to have to do because you're going to pay yourself an income. And if it's a smaller income than you paid the year before, and I suspect this guy's stacked, this is exactly what happened to this guy. He wasn't bringing in the amount of money that he had been bringing in. And even in flush years, I can't imagine a guy starting a business as he did in the mid-80s. And the mid-80s, my God, you talk about flush times. This guy starts a business. He's a young man. What do you think he did? I'll tell you what he did. He wasn't paying any corporate tax. He wasn't paying himself a salary at all. He was living off the direct funding. He was living off the direct profits of the company. You can't do that. You can't do that. State of California and the federals look at him and they go, what the hell do you think you're doing? Well, I don't know. Okay, boom, you're hit with a penalty. Now, because he knows everything, because he's a software genius, because he's this and he's that, and he's all kinds of marvelous things, he thinks he's getting screwed. He thinks he's being messed with. Why, those guys? I'm a genius compared to them. No. You got to read a guy like this three blocks off. Now comes the big dot-com bubble burst. That was another thing that I read in there. Yeah, really? How many dot-com businesses did you have there, Joe? Oh, I'm sorry. Joe can't talk. He's cooked. He's all burned up in the cockpit of an airplane. Excuse me.
Oh, man. I got to admit that's funny, but...
Hey, Joe, dude, can you tell me exactly... Oh, I'm sorry. You can't talk. You're all burned up, man. You're ash.
Man, that's bad, man.
Yeah, it's bad, huh? Hey, Joe, can you show me your income tax returns? Oh, I'm sorry. You've melted into the seat of your Cessna. Anyway, Stark's home was worth $232,000. That's Texas money. Homes on the block Stack lived on in Texas averaged in the mid-200,000s. So in any event, here's the story. So this guy decided to leave California, where it's very expensive to run a business. He went down to Texas, where I guess it's business friendly, and he got his ass kicked down there, too. And I'll bet you money. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I bet you anything, this guy was not taking any kind of an income. If he was taking an income, he was living beyond that income by dipping into the company funds. And then at the end of the year, not only could he not pay himself a bonus, which ideally is what will happen, you pay yourself an income. At the end of the year, you have enough money to fund your retirement. You also have enough money to expand your business and do whatever you want with your business. You know, you're paying out your salaries. You paid your overhead. And if you have a little extra money, after you've done all the things you want to do, you can bonus yourself. This guy not only couldn't bonus himself, he probably was short the money he owed on taxes. And guess what he does? He flies a plane into a building because he's a genius. He's a software guy, and the government's screwing him.
Hey, Joe, can you tell... Oh, I'm sorry. You're all burned apart.
Yeah, Phil does it funnier.
Yeah, I do it funnier, bud, so thank you.
No.
877-876-PHIL. Coming up, Elton John says Jesus was gay. Well, is that right? So thank you very much, Elton. We will... I wish I could have you on as a guest so you can give us the evidence of that. Not that it would make any difference to me. And the George Bush Miss Me Yet merchandise is selling big. 877-877. It is pretty smart. That's a moneymaker, baby. 877-876-PHIL. Also, Twitter with us at twitter.com/PhilHenryShow.
Phil Henry.
I got some more information.
I don't need it now, man.
Phil Henry.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. You know, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, we hold forth here with the News, Talk, and Entertainment Show where truth is our bitch. We get at it in one of the most unique ways possible. We do it by way of radio theater. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, do what thousands of others have done. Join us on our website. Take a look at our video streaming every night, and you can really see what the show's about. You don't know what this show is about until you watch us do it. Would you say that right, bud?
Yeah. I would agree with it. With proviso, you know.
What do you mean with proviso? Like what?
Well, you don't know what the show's about until you got to look at it and everything, but you'd have to agree. Some nights it's tough to look at.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that, too.
What is that supposed to mean, some nights it's tough to look at?
You know, like a night, one time you got up, right, to go in the kitchen, do something.
Yeah.
And your pants were half down your butt.
Yeah, the dude's crack.
And you shut up about... So, join us on our website. That's philhendryshow.com. There was crack. philhendryshow.com. Italian TV chef, cat cook. That's right. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Dateline Rome. Among other things, Giuseppe Beppe Bigazzi is known for his prize-winning cookbook, La Cucina Semplice del... Some kind of crap. It's called The Simple Cuisine of the Flavors of Italy. But... as of this week, the flavor with which the TV gastronome is likely to be most closely associated with is stewed cat. Now, this cat was laying some kind of a cat joke on people, and it didn't go over good. The Italians, they don't know from that kind of humor. Here in America, we've got all kinds of wise-asses. As a matter of fact, we are the masters of what I call wise-ass humor. You know, first pioneered by Steve Martin. And, of course, enhanced by the original ESPN Sports Center. Wise-ass and smart-ass humor has now gone global. It's viral, it's global, it's infecting everything. There's people, you know, throw out your dead on this stuff. Bigazzi's familiar to millions of viewers of the publicly owned RAI network as the white-haired co-presenter of the popular pre-lunchtime program, The Proof of the Cook. But today he was experiencing his first day without television commitments in 10 years after being axed for expressing his enthusiasm for cat meat. As his fellow presenter, Elisa Isadora, looked on aghast, the 77-year-old Bigazzi told viewers that, far from being a last resort in times of near famine, gatto in umido was one of the greatest dishes of Tuscany.
Tuscany? What's that?
Don't worry about it, bud, okay? Just...
come on, man.
And now, Elisa Isadora, who is a cat owner, tried to interrupt, but to no avail. Cat in a thick sauce was better than chicken, rabbit, or pigeon, he said. During a commercial break, the producers unsuccessfully attempted to persuade the celebrity gourmet that he should apologize when the program resumed. I'm sure he's like one of those, you know, I don't know, one of those Europeans. No, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no,
no, no.
Wow, I didn't know you're bilingual.
Oh, yeah.
You're kidding me, man. You don't know Italian.
Never mind. So, Bigazzi was today quoted by the newspaper Corriere del Sera saying he had been referring to events in the past, adding, you can't judge things from 70 years ago. So he's talking about how cat meat was successful 70 years ago? In any event, Red Eye took it on, our good buddies over there, Greg Gutfield, and here is comedian Alex Blagg discussing the fired chef.
What do you think? I mean, the only argument I have in defense of this is that if cats could, they would eat us.
Yeah, that's true. Also, I think another thing to consider before we judge Chef Boyar Crazy, the wacky cat cook, is that the guy's almost 80 years old. And, you know, many of America's beloved celebrity chefs are getting up there in the years. So,
well, that's the truth.
Who knows how long it could be before Martha Stewart is trotting out clever ways to saute her French bulldog Sharky, or Paula Deen just deep fries and eats her cute little kitten Whiskers. Oh. It can really happen anywhere.
Those are the guys on Red Eye talking about the chef... who, you know, wants to cook cat. Now, again, I think, and I think the point should be made again, in the United States, we are well past firing people for talking about eating cat. Over here, we have we got a long tradition of smart-ass, wise-ass humor, and we're probably the foremost practitioners of the world of that stuff. These guys, they canned this guy. Now, maybe they canned him because the woman, the co-presenter, is a cat fan, but I think that it would be funny and say, well, I was only kidding, baby. And maybe they just canned it because it's a public television network over there in Italy. But I think PBS could handle something like that, couldn't they? No, he's shaking his head.
No, I don't think so.
Well, maybe we aren't that advanced. All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. Coming up, we're going to have Marilyn Donnelly. She's going to be with us to talk about her organization, a group of educators that believe American Idol. Now, get a load of this. American Idol needs to be taken off of the air. That American Idol promises something, and they deliver sometimes, and sometimes they don't, but it is always at the expense of the young performer, and she believes that there is a some kind of a sadistic intent on the part of the TV show's producers, American Idol. So we're going to talk to Marilyn Donnelly about American Idol in a few minutes concerning that. And don't forget, next week we got Bubba the Love Sponge joining us. We also have Andy Levy, speaking of Red Eye, with us in a couple of weeks on the show. You can follow along with us at twitter.com/PhilHenryShow. I've also got my own Twitter page, bud.
Yeah, but that's yours.
I know. Well, I like people to follow along on mine. This is my personal Twitter page, twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. Marilyn Donnelly coming up next hour on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You don't even let us go on it.
Yeah, good thing, too.
Phil Henry.